Rabbi said, first of all, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the Rosh Koilos of Lezayin Gezunt, Reb Chaim, for arranging the Hesped. We're mechuyev in general to make a Hesped for such an Adam Gadol. Befrat, in our community, we're mechuyev to do so because we were privileged to have him here 3 Shabbosim, 3 years in a row, which actually the Rosh Hashivas in Lakewood were in total disbelief when I told them that he had spent time here and he'd spoken to us. Which, by the way, is Rav Moshe's Zecher Tzadik Levracha's way of giving all of us a compliment. He had very strong and positive feelings about the community, and he did remind me in no uncertain terms that we have to guard the community to stay, to be a Makom Kaddish in a place which is dedicated to Torah and Chesed, because things like this are very fragile, and he said so. I'd also like to thank the Rabbi Aaron Lopiansky and Rabbi Shmelzer Shlita for coming from very busy schedules to be mezakis, us with Hespedim, on such an Odom Gadol. I feel compelled, although I'm not from the Maspidim, just to say how, in one or two sentences, he affected myself, although I was not a Talmud of his. I feel compelled to tell everyone here tonight, which I told my Balabatim, that 40 years ago, when Rav Moshe Shapiro Zecher Tzadik Levracha was brought to America to Stanford, he had not become famous for his machshava. He was well known as a goyin in Nigla, in Shas, Rishonim, Vachroinim. And the Olam thought that he was going to make an upheaval in America, in Stanford, because of that. It was later that he developed this mahalach of machshava, which he became famous for, which L'chaira, it seemingly, he felt was an important thing to share with this generation. And therefore, that became what he was known for. But indeed, the close Talmid Chachamim knew that he was a goyin b'chol mitzayah ha'atayra, in a classical sense. And he shared the part that he became famous with as what he felt our generation needed. He became like the Urim v'Tumim for everyone in the generation, Binyanei Adas. And when you live in a generation where there is an Urim V'Tumim, it doesn't make a difference if you ever ask anything of the Urim V'Tumim. The fact that you know that he's there has a very positive ashpah on everyone. Now, we all have an amuna. I don't mean to say that this sums up Rav Moshe Shapiro, Chas V'Shalom, I don't mean to say that. I mean to say, from my limited vision, when I used to look at what's going on in the world as he spoke to this broadest spectrum of Yidden, all different types of Yidden from one side to the other, and who he became and who his Talmidim were, what I thought about it personally, what it meant to me, was that we all believe b'amuna shleima that the Torah is infinite. We all believe that every word in the Torah is full of meaning. And that's an amuna that we have. But to listen to him speak was to experience it, was to experience the infinite Torah, hafeichba v'hafeichba dekulaba, that every word counts and everything is meaningful and all the secrets of the universe are there. It was something that you experienced b'chush. It was amuna b'chush. And it seems that our generation needed that. Yidden used to learn Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar, and they had Bemuna Shleima, that this was the Dvar Hashem, and there's more here that you could ever understand. But maybe, possibly, in our generation, where Amuna is so weak, the Rabbeinu Shalom sent us a Matana from the Neshamayim, a Yid who obviously understood that we needed to hear this type of Torah. And I'd like to just read a few words that Rav Chaim Volozhiner wrote about the Vilner Gaon. Not that I mean to say, I'm sure Rav Moshe wouldn't want that I should say something like that, that his impact on Klal Yisrael was anything like the Vilner Gaon's, or that he was like the Vilner Gaon. But when I think about what he did and the hashpa that he had on us, I think of these words that Rav Chaim Volozhiner said. In describing, in the Hagdamah, the Sefer Tzinusi, he says, "Umei Hashem hoise nesiba." This was caused by Hashem that the Vilner Gaon was here. Heranu ledas, because he wanted us to know. Asher gam b'hi yoseinu be'eretz oyveinu kayoyim azeh. Even though we are in galus, in the hands of our enemies. B'seiser hamadrega ho achroino sheba achroinois. In the darkness of the lowest level that there is in history. Hashem yirachem. Al im kolzeh, despite all this. Hashem or lanu, Hashem gave us a light. To give us life with dew dripping of the great chachma, the sublime chachma. To fill our souls with the shining light of above. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu never forsakes us. So we in our generation were zayicha to have an odom gadol of this stature, who spoke to the entire Klal Yisrael, and everybody needed him, as you see from the tremendous, tremendous hashpa that he had on Klal Yisrael. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help that the Eiris which he gave to the rest of Klal, to the entire Klal Yisrael, should guide us to be as a Mashiach, and should be a schus for him, and we should be zeichet to see the Geula Shleim of B'meir V'Yameinu Amen. B'kavod Godel, I ask Ezra Bari Lapiansky to speak.
I first want to be Miss Natzel. I'm going to do something Shalai Kishura. I do have to leave right after my hesped. It's Alpi Alocha, not Oiska Halten a lot, because to leave in the middle of a hesped. And also, it would be most appropriate to hear Rav Shmelzer. Rav Shmelzer was Zeicha to write, to be chosen to write Rav Moshe's Torahs. I literally have a train to catch, and if not, it's late to have a chiv to be tomorrow in Shiva. So I'm Miss Natzel Miroish. And this is what I could do. The Mardasar mentioned about Reb Moshe's extraordinary hekiv of godless, whether it's in halacha, in the lomdas that we call, whether it's in this world of oimek, even in this world that we call not halacha, Kabbalah is its oimek tzaya, and he was a giant, Yechidei Skula, who was zeichen, he had a tremendous rachvas adas. He was involved in so many different areas. It's incredible rachvas and godless of a person. Well, I want to focus on one nekuda, to try to understand a little bit more about the most of the Torah that the Rav Zupnik mentioned. Try to understand it a little bit deeper. What is this world that he was really unique? In all the other tchumim, he was a giant, but in this world, it was mamish a yachid. I tried a little bit to understand what it is. We will call it the world of Agadata, Agada, Agadata. Lechura, if we take a look at Chazal, there seem to have been a separate tchum called Agadata. On the one hand, in the Mesechtes that we have, the gvulas of halacha and agada are not sharply defined at all. Halacha is halacha, and it's mixed together with agada. On the other hand, you find something called rabbanit agadata, bali agada. Those are terms that Chazal use. In some places, the mashmos is keilu that agada is for much lesser people than halacha is. Agada is for moin am. Many chazal, achshav she'ena putim mitzuya, the story, everybody came to hear the Baal Agada. Many, many chazal that seem to imply that Agada is of a lower madrega or meant for moin am. That's one direction that seems to be in many chazal. On the other hand, there's a Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara says that there was a machloikis about what a certain pasuk in Daniel means. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyach zeh kiseh kovid, and there's Hadayim Raglov, and what's one, what's the other. Rabbi Akiva said a pshat. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akiva, malach eitzel agada, klach medabrei secha eitzel negoyim v'holos. So he told him, Rav Lozzer told Rav Akiva, Agadat is not your tchum, go to the Goyim and Aholos. The goyim and aholis are the chamuris in the world of halacha. The hardest mesech. Rashi says the deepest. The mashmos is, and there's another place also, we have a similar machloikas, Rabbi Elazar Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, where he tells him, Agarata is not, it's, itilu, you don't belong in Agarata. The mashmos is certainly not that it's beneath your darga. Adrab, the mashmos seems to be that that's not where you are up to. Keilu, agadali for me, and halacha is where you can go. Certainly the mashmos is that Reb Elazar Azariah is a step ahead because of it. So, Monefshach, where is Agada? Is Agada less for Moinam? Or is Agada for Yechidei Skula? Even Rabbi Akiva didn't make it there. I would also like to understand, we don't measure godlessness of Rabbi Akiva, Reb Elazar Azariah, but what is the tam? What's in the coup de while Reb Elazar Azariah is shaykh to the world of Agada and Akiva is not? The Gemara says, further in the Gemara Chagiga, it says a pasuk that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mesa kol mashin lechem and kol mashin mayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove from Kal Yisrael the support of bread and the support of water. So Chazal say the mashin lechem are the balei halacha, and the balei and the mashin mayim are the balei agada. Mashin lechem is balei Talmud, shenem lechu lochmi blachmi, and the balei mashin mayim are the balei agada. So Chazal characterized the distinction between agada and halacha as lechem and mayim, or achil and shtia. Obviously, both are very important, each one in its own way, but how do we translate it into, so what does it mean? What exactly is it? Chazal over here say, V'chol mashin mayim, elu balei agada, shemoyshchen libo shel adam kemayim ba'agada. That the moyshich libo shel adam kemayim. And in a few places, Chazal used that word to describe Agadata. It says Vayagid Moshe Dvarim Dara Moshech Kagada. It says that the Chazal say that the Mon was Kizrea Gad Halovan. So God is like Agada, which is Moshech Hasalev. In a few times, they say the word Agada in that sense. Rashi says, actually, in a similar word, he says the word miksha in Truma, in Parshas Truma, miksha, the Targum teaches nagad, nun gimel dalet, and Rashi says it's moshuch. It means instead of fixed, you know, with nails and so on, it's moshuch, it's pulled and so on. So, in many places, Chazal explain it as being Moshech Libash Adam. Agada is Miloshem Meshicha. I want to show a little bit to be misbinding on that point. I guess normally one would say it's Me'oira a person. When we speak about Divius Iris, we speak about things that are Me'oira a person. Moshech, yes, it says like that, but constantly, it's as if Agadat is moishech a person kemayim, and that's the mashal. So let's understand the two tchunis of achil and shtia, of meshicha. A person can be typhus. Things can come in two types of packaging, let's call it. A person has a bottle of water, so the bottle is a unit, a finite unit, a defined unit, and that's the bottle of water. A person has a mayon, and the water keeps coming. the things can come to us, water can come to us in a tzura of a boyer, which is defined, and it can come in the tzura of a be'er, which is novea. Both of them have milus. When I have something that is discrete, it has a clear gvul, it's a liter bottle of water, I can be tofes it. And I can wrap my hands around it, and I can stack it up, and I can count it, and I know how much there is. But because it's a bal gvul, it is limited. I also don't know where it came from. I have bottles and bottles of water near my house. Where it came from, I have no idea. It does nothing to tell me where its makor and shorish is. Doesn't bring me any closer to the makor and shorish. When I have a mayon, I don't have any tfisa in it. It flows. I don't know how much. I can't put my hands around it. I don't have much balabatikite over it. I can't do much with it. But on the other hand, it doesn't end. And also, I somehow can take it back to its sheirish, because that's the teva of Sanat Sleveya. It's coming from somewhere. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, in Torah there are two facets that are be'etzem mutually contradictory. There's a tar to the saser be'etzem in Torah. There's a chelik in Torah that I need to understand. A melas b'Torah is about taking Torah, grinding it up, chewing on it, swallowing it, and making me balabas b'Torosai. It's his Torah, Torah delay. Le b'Shemayim he. It becomes our Torah that fits into our gvul of our seichel, and in the dynamashen of royas, and whatever bezin paskins, whatever sanhedrin paskins, that becomes theirs. That's one facet of Torah. There's one facet of Torah that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by its nature, something that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's bleak, vulnerably safe. And I can't possibly wrap my hands around it and sort of put boundaries around it and package it. So I have the chelik of Torah that is me and mine. It fits into gvulos of seichel. It requires me to put it within the gvulos of seichel, and it becomes mine. And there's a chelik that's neveya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly. It's bli gvul, and I can sort of have a shaychus to it, but I don't have the tfisa and the bailus on it that I would have on the other part of Torah. Those are the two chalokim of Torah that needed to be part of Torah, because be'etzim, that's what Torah is. But the famous Chazal, the Maral brings, or Moshe would quote it very often, about the luchas to tefachim in Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, to tefachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, kaviyachol, and the middle has a din of being both, of yachloiku. That's the mashal. Maima Musker, it's fascinating. Yistaka bar Reisa bar Alma. The oldest question in science, in Teva, was, does the world consist of discrete entities, atoms, or is it just continuous? And every few years, the galgal goes one way, another way. We understand it to be a little bit of both. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meyaset Torah with two amudim, then the world also has two amudim. And there are tchunis of discrete, self-contained and defined entities, and hemshechius without any ability to package it. Al kaponim, those are the two amudim of Torah, halacha and agada. achila, lechem, is something that is very, very, it's pieces, and a person has to chew it and grind it, and there's a lot of tirch and omel in the digestive process. It requires work. Mayim, shtia, by its very nature, it doesn't come in, you have to put it into a kli to drink. It doesn't come in pieces. On the other hand, it's less of a tircha to drink it. A chayla drinks. Rav Hutner has famous word that he says that the balei, the shear for Yom Kippur, for achila, is a defined shear. It's an objective shear, kosevis. For shtia, it's mole lugmav, because shtia doesn't come in its own defined shurim. He says a different knetch, but akapanim, the aura is his, that shtia doesn't come in its own defined, quantities. It's whatever the person can absorb, kefi koyach the person to absorb. So, we have a world of halacha and a world of agada. Halicha. Halacha is called bilashon halicha. Halicha soilam, tikadis halacha. When a person walks, there are discrete steps, and I can count steps. When a river flows, it flows without any, it doesn't, you can't get a, say when the first flow and the second flow and the third flow. It's continuous. That's the difference between halacha and agada. One is a step-by-step walk, one is a flow. The difference in terms of people is as follows. Divrei agada, a person can have some shaychus to it, even if he's the most pashta person. Because it doesn't require any tfisa mamashis in it, especially because you can't have a tfisa mamashis. If a person hears divrei agada, that a yoytze mileif tohar, then a person is nimshach to it. He follows the river. It's like a choila that you feed water. Even if the choila has no koyach, as long as you pour the water down, as long as it's there. So agada can work even for lowest madrega. Halacha, a person needs to be able to chew, digest. If a person hears a shir and he be'erech caught on that it's be'erech talking about something with chazakis, be'erech is pretty worthless. When a person hears divrei Yisoyeris, divrei Musa, anything that's realm, if he caught a general sense of it, then he has something. In divrei halacha, it requires that a person get the pieces. It's like I don't know, listening to somebody teaching mathematics and saying he got the idea be'erech. It's not a be'erech, it's not ideas. You either know how to do it or you don't know how to do it. An idea could be a be'erech. So yes, a second darga is halacha has a darga above agad and this oifin, and it requires somewhat of a talmud chacham to be able to have a yad in it, have a tefis in it. And then there's a third darga beyond halacha, where a person takes the river much further down, and now the person is past pieces and past the ability to really digest it into human terms and human parameters and the definitions. And a person has to deherit in a way that he can deherit as something beyond him. And that's what the Mishnah Chagiga says. You can't teach the Nyonim of Pnimius of Torah. They can only be Shayach to somebody, you give it to somebody who's a Chachem and Meiv Midaitoi, Meiv Matzmoi. the person, it's not that he'll chop the words after you tell him. There's these secret words. You give him like the Rosh HaTevis, and if he figures it out, he knows the words. It means it's a type of Havana that can't be put into words. And the best you can do is give the person words, and those words serve as a gateway for the hair, for a deeper understanding that goes beyond the tchum of words. Because words are be'etzim also a definition. They also define something in very mugvaldika ways. And therefore, the world of agada beyond that is something that is higher darga. So Torah was given to us with two columns, but three layers. There's the first darga of agada, because it flows, and you don't need to be able to grasp each piece. It's a mashen mayim. And just like mashen mayim is something that is, you need drink way before you need food, person will die very shortly after dehydrating, whereas person go for days and weeks without eating. That darga of agada, that darga of negida, of a flow, is first. It's also something that's mechaber a person more specifically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say, L'moyed Agada, V'tzoyich L'hakim Yisha'oma V'hoya Olam. If you want to understand the sheirish of where the world came from whom the world came from, learn Agada. Because when something flows, it's constantly mechubet to the marker. And wherever you put your finger in the water, it's attached to where the sheirish is. In achila, a person can be makir where the sheirish is, or chas v'shalom, a person can make it his own. He can sort of see it as his own shtikel teira and be menatik chas v'shalom to some degree. The second darga is achila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us that it should be Torah delay, and those are things that we have the ability to be able to put it into gvulis, which means we could be typhus it, we could be ma'akel it, we could digest it, we could make it ours, kaviyachal. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us that schus, and in the limited world of Piske Alachis, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Leib HaShemayim. And then there's the darga beyond of Agada, where the river flows in the Sheirish Hashrashim, and over there it's where nobody has a tefis of achil in it. It's where people need to deher if they're shayach to it. They need to use the words as a gateway, and then havana and tefisa goes beyond the words. If a person in the area that's called nigla, if a person sticks to pshuta shel mikra, the person has something. There's always more oimik, but pshuta shel mikra means something. Pshuta shel gemara, pshuta shel halacha, with the lums, without the lums, the pshat is teira. In a certain tchum, at a certain point, the words kemat chas v'shalom. The person would be a megashim if he would chashon take the words. It's all the tfis and avana that the words lead to without the words. Those are the two worlds of Aloch and Agoda. Derech Efshar, one could say the difference between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva klapi this world. I didn't see it any place, but I'm saying it just by Derech Efshar maybe. Rabbi Akiva was a ger, was a Ben Gerim. Some places it says his father Yosef was a ger, but he was a Ben Gerim. Rambam in his Akdamot says it. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a miyuchas from Ezra Sefer. There's a yichud of Torah that comes from yourself. That's the yichud of Ben Gerim. And that's a type of Torah that's one world. And then there's a type of Torah that's neivea from the Makor and the Sheirish. Ezra Sefer was the dogma of a Moshe Rabbeinu in his door, And Rav Elazar ben Azariah was shayach to the Torah of that flowed, that was nimshach. And b'meila, it's not with the dagger per se of Elazar Akiva. It has to do with Rav Akiva, the chshivas of Rav Akiva is ben Sisra, he was the brother of Sisra, it was shayach to the world of Torah that comes from a certain point. And doesn't have everything necessary, doesn't have the yichud. It says that one of the reasons why the Midrash Azariah to be mechayin was the schus avis, the hamshacha of being your Torah, being a flow from the sheirish. That's something that was miyuchid to the Midrash Azariah. That was the yichud at Torah. Maybe there are I didn't see it, but I'll upon him. So we have two worlds of Torah over here. We understand also that we're talking not just about technical terms of Tuchalakim. It also has a lot to do with the quality of it. It has a lot to do with a lot more. It has to do with the tchunis of the different limudim. One of Reb Moshe's unique properties was that he spoke for Balei Tshuva to be. He spoke to people who were not frum. And he didn't argue in the world of science, whatever it was. It wasn't his thing, or politics. He said his Divrei Torah in a little bit of a lighter signin, but it was still the same Divrei Torah. And people got from it. And he said Torah for G'dayl Olam Mamish, for Yaduali, for people, for giants, who learned me Piv Dvarim that are Oymed Berum Sh'olam. There wasn't a clear difference. It wasn't as if three sets of Shurim. It was something that had, it was one flow. And some people stood at this end, some people stood a little further, closer to the marker, some still closer to the marker. But the tchuna of Divrei Agada is that there's a tfisa in it on both ends, on both extremes, and places where halacha doesn't go. And it was the same person, because his dvarim flowed. It was also something, it was a tchuna. It was something in when he spoke. Everybody speaks as pieces, shtiklach strings them together, and so on. There was a seamless flow. It was almost as if a mind opened up. And it was hard. When you're listening, it was hard to put breaks between the different pieces. One just seemed to flow into the other, just a constant nevia. And that was the tchun of his Torah. He opened up a shahr that it's as if he struck water and would just keep flowing. It was true, fascinating enough, in his world of Lomdus also. He used to say a shir in Tyrus, they started Leila Nishmas' daughter. I never went to that shir, but I heard from people went there. Tyrus was a special chvivas to him, the depth of the musagim, and he got into the lomdas of it once, and at a certain point he said, one second, am I, in which world am I? Am I in the world of lomdas or the world of agada? It really was a sort of seamless oneness, which was very, very unique. You didn't feel, most people, when the two tchumim conflict with each other, there's a problem. You either feel this person is a darshan who's trying to say a sheklali, so it's just a putting in chalois and heftz and gavra into Divrei Agada of some sort. I mean, there's no sharpness in the Christmas Valacha. On the other hand, you find people that sort of are basically saying a shekloli with two dinim in chesed and three dinim in din and alishitosei and what mishpat is. Yes, it's all Torah, but Rashi flowed so naturally. It was as if he tapped into the river itself, and whether he was saying halacha or agada, there was a seamless flow, and there didn't seem to be a contrast. It wasn't as if he's a reshiva also, a mashgiach also. It was seamless. The things just came together. He was ma'ir people. He was not a dramatic speaker. He didn't hype, didn't tell over stories, believe it or not, stories. Just the things that he spoke were quite deep, even on the pshutoy. But it was Moshech people. I was zeichet to hear the first year I heard him. I was a young boy. I was not even 17. It was 1970. I came to Israel, and someone had just told me that somebody saying he was a young man learning in Harry Fishel, and they used to say before Yontif, and they used to say for Young Light. And I sat in. I was a young boy, and it was so Moshech, because in this world of true agada, a person is mechubet to the sheirish. Yemakim misha omer vaya oilam. It's if you really tapped into a river, then wherever you are, there's a chibah between you and the sheirish, and you felt it when you sat through a shir. You felt mischaber latoher. You felt that you're part, and there wasn't anything overtly dramatic or instructions about being frum or whatever it was. It was living, being mechubel atohar. That was the signum of his divrei Torah. I want to read a short piece. I'll just translate the piece. There's a sefer called Yoshe Levav. And it's a sefer written by a big mekubel, Manuel Chayriki. He's known for a sefer called Mishas Chasidim. He lived in the end of 1600 or 1700. Quite famous. Mishas Chasidim is a very famous sefer. There are a lot of others for him. He says, when Chazal tell you divrei gnai about Agada, he said, Chas v'shalom, Roiv Sisra Torah there, and Chazal said, V'tzayin chil ha'akim yishom v'yoylom v'yid Agada. But he said, listen, if you look at, he speaks about a chazal, a person have the time to mayach, when he's speaking about a certain chazal, and he says, v'tira, shemegane haksiva bohem. It says if you write Sifra Agada, ki miroiv k'dushosom lenitna likosev, af ki mishmeis as Hashem, they weren't mate to write most of it. Kaldei haksiva makshimoisom, v'gesh moises. Ksiva takes divrei Agada, and makes something frozen out of it, something megushim. V'gam akoyreba ein etoyrech lelech etzemisham deneloy pel peh. A person who reads it doesn't bother to go to hear it from somebody. Machzik suvel afanov, ubali de tos bavanasa, and then you make mistakes. Lefishal pi pshuta, because the pasuk shat in many agodas ain't with Venice. Vasoyed in iniglaba, so a person takes it. And so he says over here, the sharp lashonis that Chazal say, they call it a sifrei koismin, is because if you make safer out of it, if you make a safer out of it, then you must hear it. It must come bal peh. It must come with an avia bal peh. Went over one Purim, I was high, I was in his house, and I told him a vart that I saw from the Chazim Lublin. The Chazal says, they asked him, someone asked him, what do you need a Rebbe for if you have a Sefer? So he said a Chassidus Shavar to explain it. He said, Val Yedei Avodecha, through your Avodim, Avodim Ad Tzedikim, the Oiv De Hashem, the Heilig Yidin, HaNeviim Kosov, the written Neviim, Lamer, begin to speak. In other words, a Novi on paper is not a Novi. A Novi has to come through Dibur. And when you have somebody that says those diburim, that's when it comes. And I was high enough, and I told Rav Moshe, that's you. And he gave me a playful slap, kedarkoi, and told me to get lost or something. But that was Rav Moshe. The words, there's so many words, Maral is words, and this is words, and that's words. When Rav Moshe spoke, They came to life. There was a nevia of chius. There was a nevia of attachment to the sheirish and a facet of Torah that was seamless and flowed. I want to finish with a paragraph from Isaiah, which I think expresses Hagasha. There's a Zayar Shlach speaks about a cholim that Hanoim had about being in Gan Eden and seeing different things. They came to a certain place. In this cholim, they're in Gan Eden and looking at different hecholas. And they were mori dagoda, bala agoda. And their faces were radiant like the sun. Onru, they asked, Manile, who are these? Omolohain, so the Zarkin was told them, Ilein Moreo Dagada. These are the Bale Agada. Vichamon Bechol Yoima, Nehir Dereisikur Koyos, Kaime. They see each day an oir of Torah exactly the way it's supposed to be. Each day there's a new ha'ara, and they get that ha'ara of Torah. Kaimu, they stood there, v'shomu kamibil l'chadete b'raisa, and they heard a few chidushet Torah from them, v'leisiav l'n rishoyl rishu l'mel gavayu. But they were not given permission to stay there. I don't know what goes, we're here. In this world, Reb Moshe was the Baal Agada, not the step before Halacha, but the step after Halacha. And his face and his Dibur Torah radiated with the radiance of Torah that to us felt that this is the Amitah Shel Torah. We were given Rishus to hear a little bit and not more. It's hard to believe that the lights are out, that a chelik of Torah that have been tapped into is now going to be reduced to being bottled water. Like I said, it's not a specific discipline or a specific chelik of Torah. It's an attitude, an approach, a havana, a tfisa beyond tfisa, an understanding that there is a place that a person has to dig. And if he digs deep enough in his heart, in his neshama, in his mischabel lakodesh, then in the schus of the Torah that he was mefitz, in the schus of the light that he lit for us, we should be zeicha, because even a tiny trickle of divrei agada has in itself the nitzchias, the neviya ein soif of a big river. In ein soif, it's the difference between a huge river and a tiny trickle is one aspect, but mitzad its pnimius and mitzad its teichen, both of them are a taste of the Torah that's like a Shparchus Torah, a Torah saying safe Torah. May Yischus be megin on us, that we should be zeicha to some of that Torah, to tap into that, to become a chubel akodesh, and to have a drop of the ha'ara that he was zeicha to be mayor in this world.
Few minutes that I left. The only reason I'm standing here is because the Gemara says in Shabbos, "Hamisatzel be'aspeda shel chacham roi l'koyve b'chaim." Someone who's lazy, it's too hard. I don't want to. He's roi l'koyve. And my Rebbe, Harini Kaporas Mishkave, once said the reason is because after a person leaves this world, really a person is supposed to live forever. So how does he live on? When we talk about him, we continue the chias. We hold on to what's left, the things that he took away with him, that it's nignas, and we're trying to grab on and hold on to little pieces. That's the chiyus that's continuing. Someone who refuses, he's misatzel and talking about the hemshech achiyus, he's pashat haratzeach. That's what he said. So even myself, I didn't want to be misatzel and also not to refuse the Rav, Emesav and the Godel. The Rav mentioned before about the Amunah, that he spent his life in Amunah. The last conversation that I had with the Rebbe, Zecharim Levracha, was an Elul in between treatments. And there was 1, 2, 3 days that he said a shir. He was in Brooklyn. And I was a zaycha to sit with him for an hour. That was the last conversation I had with him. And the conversation was about Amunah, because I was zaycha to put out a sefer recently about Amunah, explaining what Amunah Pshuta means. And he had given me a letter about it. So the last 2 years was a discussion, besides other things, but we discussed this a lot. I explained to him about things that are happening and how the superficiality of the world is looking at Amunah with such a superficial, in a superficial way, as if simply our minds can understand everything, just explain it and there you got it. And he told me, I was talking specifically about the Ramban, the famous Ramban says that the truth of Ma'amir HaSinai is given over in a way. The truth of it is because Ein Adam Manchil Sheker Labanov, nobody's going to tell lies and falsehoods to their children. That's what the Ramban says. He says to me, the Welt versteht es nicht. I'm spending the last 40 years of my life, I'm talking only Amunah. He told me, in a nutshell, everything I've been speaking about for 40 years, in the Nyanam of Agada Mestami, he meant more, Shteitzach. I'm talking about Amunah. The 35 shiurim a week that he said for decades, going from place to place, seven places in a day, he could learn all the Kol Chalki HaTayr. He's busy with one thing. He's explaining what it means, Amunah. What does Amunah mean? He would say over the Gra, that al yedei emuna memnusa masigim ein soif. The concept of emuna means with that we're able to have a hasaga, we're able to comprehend what's called ein soif. That's the what's above the physical mind. He would talk about always how since the churban bayis rishon, as long as there was a churban bayis rishon, so we understood ruchnius. People had ruchnius with their hands. We had norm v'tumim like was mentioned before, and we had Nevi'im, and we had the Shechina, we had the Aron, we had everything. Everyone's mind was able to perceive the Kedusha and touch it with their own hands. There was no problem with it. It was only afterwards when it was Choshech, Al Pnei Sahayim, the Golus Yavan, the Greek philosophers, beginning with Aristotle, they began to bring down into the world Choshech, the Nevu'ah was Batel, Urim V'Tumim was Batel, Shechina was Batel. So what do we have left? From then on, the Seichel, the raw Seichel, became only physical. Physical, Seichel Anushi. And the Seichel Anushi sees things the opposite of what they are. He would say whatever we see in the world is the opposite of the truth. Our minds see everything falsely. We see only the outer layer. He would talk about Chitzonius. His entire being was Pnimius. His entire level was to look at things and to see the Ur that's within it. His one of his big phrases perhaps that he said thousands of times was the words Metzius of Torah. The word Metzius means existence. He would always say the word Metzius probably every other sentence. The Metzius of Torah, you look at the world and the world is an existence of Torah. As mentioned before, they used to look at Torah, Yitzchak Rabbi Yisrael Alma. He would talk about politics, he would talk about everything happening in the world. It's all about the aura that's there. Every single thing in the world, every blade of grass and every grain of sand has within it an aura, Kvoido Yisparach. The covet of Hashem has to come out of it. The eternal aspect of it is what's gonna stay forever. The chair, this chair will not stay forever as is. It's just a levush. It's just the outer layer of something that's going to reveal Kvoide Yisbarach. And every single thing in the world is an existence of that Torah, of the Oyer of Torah. And our job is to dig deep and to look at it not with the Seichel Anushi, not with the physical mind that only understands concepts that are within the realm of the physicality of the world. A person has to raise himself higher. How do you do that? And then he would talk about the lave. He would talk about how the person could only, in the times when everything is choshech, and all we see is the outer layer, which is the surface layer of everything. From then on, the only way to understand it is with the lev. And he would talk about the lev. The lev is the heartbeat, our dama tamtzis. And when a person transforms himself into a being of Torah, and then his lev, the lev beats dam of Torah, so then he begins to live it. It's the chaye oylam nota b'secheinu. That's the amuna that he would explain all the time. He would say that the Gemara says always the words aliba, aliba didei, aliba da'achtana. The word aliba means lev. It's the lave of this Tana. Why is it you could ask a Kasha 30 years ago, the Tana said like this, and 30 years later he said like this, the steer. What's the Kasha? 30 years later, he looked at Sugi again and said differently. Can't be. Because whatever the Tana says is his being, his etzem being. It's his life, his very life. He only has one life. If his very life says one thing, and that's his lave, aliba didei, it's aliba didei, in the Yushalmi Yud Bimadaik, it always says adaita didei. Why is the Bavli say aliba? Aliba is knaching this nakuda. That it's the lave, the person himself is transformed. Talmid Chachamim kol gufam eish. Al Talmud Chacham is because his lave is transformed. He would talk about how superficial the world is, and then as I was speaking to him then in that conversation, he was telling me the Welt versteht nicht was meint ein oder manchel Sheker. When we talk about people giving over to their children, we're not talking about pieces of information that are given over, he tells me. It means that they're giving over Chayim, this life itself. This life itself, the existence of Torah is given over to the children. That's something that every person has inherently within himself. And that's given over and nurtured. It's given over, that's what it means. It's not a raya, it's not a proof amongst proofs. That there's one proof, a historical proof, and they have another proof. It has to do with the fact that life itself is given over. When I was telling him about different things, about people are trying to bring into the moistus that we have to prove to the children about Yiddishkeit, and that's going to be the meaning of Emunah. He writes to me, that's the Yetzer HaMeschadish B'chol Yoim. It's a brand new Yetzer Hara than ever was. And he was so fire about it. He writes to me a letter, and he says to me, he says, this is such a sakana, and it's a shtus. He writes the word shtus. This is a shtus. And he says that the Sitra Achra is very happy with it, because that's bringing the whole world down to reducing it to just the understanding of our puny mind that sees everything the opposite of what it really is. And the only way we could really understand it is by relating to the Metzius of Torah. The Metzius of Torah is the inner light. He writes to me in I put out some Svarim with the Shmuzim, 6 Svarim on the Mayadim, and he writes to me in his letter to me, which a lot of Talmidim, there's a Choshev Talmud Chochem in Eretz Yisrael, I just spoke to, his name is Rav Tzvi Cheshen, one of the Talmidim Chom Shebedar. He told me about that letter. He's medayek in every word. He writes to me that he opens up his heart a drop. He was a big tzanua. He never would talk about himself, but he writes there that the little bit of favor that I found in the eyes of Merabeim, Mata Chain, Shenosni Hashem Yisbarach Be'ini Raboisai, they opened for me a small crack, and I saw Kemetzitz Min Acharakim, Mashehu Min Ha'or HaGodol Shehoyeh B'Libam. I saw a drop of the great Or that's in their heart, and from then on, I only have a chukah to be a mouthpiece for what I was mekabel from them. He was able to see the Or, this Metzius of Torah that he lived and spoke. He was always speaking higher, always speaking above. And the Tzibur had to sit down every single shir and break your head to climb higher to understand what he's saying. He's talking about the Metzius, as the Rishivi before mentioned. He's talking about something that's brought down into words, and you can't, words just reducing the concept. The Olam HaMachshava that's put into words is reducing it. It's something that can't be spoken. And that's what's called Or. He would talk about the Or. And he would say that the Or doesn't have to be Dafka because you're learning Kabbalah or you're learning Primius. The Or is Rabbi Kiva Eger. If someone delves deep into a sugya with a Ktais HaChoshim, with a Nadarajba, and he mutchezach to understand Pshat, he's digging deep within the Gemara. That's the Ma'or Shabbat, Shamachzira Lamutav, the Ma'or of Torah. He would tell the Bali Tshuva, he was very busy with Bali Tshuva, as Rashiva mentioned before, and he was without compromise. He told some of the people in Makarov, I was standing by the shiva, some of the people were talking, and they were saying that he said he opened up last bunch of years, he was able to set up Kailim next to some universities so that the university students should be able to have a place they could walk into. And he was telling them, when you say a shir, it has to be with a gishmak. That's the Pashat of Pshat in Ma'or Shabbat. You have to bring out the Geshmak, say over a Rambam, say over a Bikivega, and this way they'll understand, they'll see what lies within a Shtikl Torah. That's the Metzius of Torah. They have to see the Or of Torah, and that's going to be Machzir and Lamutav. His Atzlocha with Bali Tshuva was because there was nothing superficial. He demanded of them the same thing he demanded of everyone else. It was one Purim night, I was Taka Shikr also, and I remember that it was 1 o'clock in the morning after Shir, he said to Archabur, and then he went further with one of his drivers, Rabbi Yitzchak Ziv, chosh of a person, he went with him to Sanhedrin Mechevet, and there he had his Bal Tshuva Koilel. These are the people who used to fly planes in the Air Force, and these people were big. I remember that there was an Air Force pilot when I was in Yeshiva, I was maybe 19 years old, and he asked me to learn with him. He spoke only Yevrit, and I worked it out. And he tells me, his name is Gal, he was an Air Force pilot, a real, real big one. And he tells me, he's 5 years old, He's only learning for 5 years. Look at a lamdan. Look what a lamdan he is. And he's so proud that he was able to make a lamdan out of him. A bal tshuva has to be a lamdan. No such thing stam. It has to be that the earth is following them. It encompasses their entire life. It's nothing is superficial. And I was sitting there and I just remember a few things that happened. And he was being so sharp. I saw the sharpness how he talks to them. I would think he'd be nicer to them. These people have, you know, they have no family and they're alone. Be mechazik them. He talked. He said, it was Purim and he was saying over a joke. He was saying over, it would pass, it would be correct. He was making, like he said over Rabbi Zalman, that a Talmud Chochem should know how to learn also. And like he was making the sarcasm. He would always talk very sharp. It would make sense that a Talmud Chochem should also know how to learn. It would make sense that about tshuva, also the tshuva. And he was saying it to them, and they're listening to the sharpkeit. I saw one, this part, this lies in my mind, one person, one of the Bali tshuva, after they were standing around, he tells his friend, he says, do me a favor, tagid li ishti. Tell my wife that I'm not something. I don't remember what. He turns to me and says, Tagid li ishti? He should tell your wife? I saw the demand. The demand, the tznius. What's the difference? What right is he telling my wife messages for me? Where's the tznius? He demanded even the subtle things. And that's the aura. That's how he was able to be makarav. When I was there by the Beis Elvel, someone told me what he said to a group of Bali Tshuva. And he said to them like this. He said, Mashiach, also, the way of being mechazik them, a perspective of how to look at things. He said to them, Mashiach is going to come. There's going to be a long line of people giving Shalom Aleichem to Mashiach. A whole big long line. And there's going to be the people on the front. Who are you? And the person going to say, Shalom Aleichem, I'm this, I come from here, I'm a Rosh Hashiva here, I'm a Yundaman here, I live here, I'm Kaveitim at night, I have this family, come from that family. Then he's going to come to you. And he's going to say, who are you? Mashiach is Shalom Aleichem. You know what you're going to answer? You're going to answer like this. Ata lo makir oti. You don't know me. I'm a no name. Who am I? Aval ani zeh shehiveti otcha. I'm the one who brought you. That's what you're going to tell Mashiach. Mashiach is going to get you. You're going to be at the back of the line. Shalom Aleichem. You don't know who I am. Who am I? I'm the one who brought you. He would bring out a perspective. He once spoke this, I saw by the Beis Elvel, I'm sitting around listening. Someone said that he came to speak to the girls' seminary in Gateshead. Seminary. He had 2 minutes to speak. There's a yid by the name of Tudros Miller. Rav Tadi Miller is a Talmud of his, and he asked him to, he wouldn't normally speak to women, but he felt, maybe it was of Dessler's Yartzeit, I'm not sure, but he spoke there for 2 minutes. He said, I have 2 minutes to speak. He comes in and he says the following statement. In the name of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. In the name of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Don, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yisrael, Binyamin. In the name of the Malachim, in the name of the Shoftim, in the name of the Tanoim, in the name of the Amoraim, in the name of the Rishonim, in the name of the Achronim, I want to give you a Yashar Koyach. A Yashar Koyach for being Mamshech the Messiah of Torah, to be able to build Mishpachas that are pure, being Mamshech the Messiah of Torah. Yashar Koyach. That was the speech. I was able to say a perspective in a moment. There was nobody like him in the ability to say over something in one word, to give over an idea. His Amunah, I'm middle of talking about his Amunah, who was well known. When I was sitting in the Beis Elvel, I asked his son to tell it to me over again. I heard it so many times. When his daughter was nifter, was mentioned before, he had a daughter was sick for many, many years. She was nifter at 15 years old. She had an amputation. He suffered very, very much. He had spent years in America. That's one of the reasons he came to Stanford. Then he went back there to Israel and he came back. And she was nifter at 15 years old. When he was sitting Shiva, right before he was sitting Shiva, the night right when she was nifter, God, I heard from someone who was there. He was standing by the bedside of his daughter as the monitor was going down. Life was over. And he was saying Tehillim with the starkest Tehillim. And the Talmud, Rabbi Yitzchak Ziv, he asks him, he says, Rabbeinu Ad Kaan, look, look. And he said, Haboiteach Bashem Chesed Yisei Vivenu. That's it. But she was nifter moments later. When he was sitting Shiva, he said over to Rabbi Yehuda Adas, he said, Shloisha Shutfin Ba'odam. There are three partners in every person, Abba, Ve'ima, and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The din is, no shutuf is allowed to break the shutufis without rishus from the others. He can't do something, go into a business deal without the other shutufim knowing about it. It's osir. So how in the world could the Eibishter take away my daughter? There's two other shutufim. How is it possible? There's only one pshat. Because the Rajba says in Kiddushin that if the shutufim, if it's good for the shutufim, if it's kulei schus, if there's no tzad choyv at all, if it's only schus, so then afilu oymid v'tzavach. Even if one of the shutfim is screaming, I don't want, the shutf could do for them. Even if the other two are saying, no, 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 no. Oymid v'tzavach. But since it's a schus gomor, So then one is allowed to do for the other, shutfin. So he said, it has to be that the Eibishter taking away my daughter is kul ischus. It has to be kul ischus. There's no other tzad. He lived the Ur of Emunah. His perspective was always such. One time, he went into Bnei Brak when he was maybe, are you, am I here 10 o'clock? What? When do I stop? Do I have to go to sleep? Talk a little bit. He said that I didn't hear this from him, but the younger man told me this, and I heard this from someone else, two of the same stories, that he once went into Bnei Brak, and everyone knows, if you ever visited Bnei Brak, you know there's a Coca-Cola factory. The Coca-Cola factory is right when you come in. There's an advertisement. The advertisement is something like this. Zeh ta'am ha-chayim. This is the taste of life. When he was young, he saw the sign for the first time, and he said, if this is what they could advertise, I'm never drinking this. So younger man told me by the shiva, he says to me that we used to have a shir in Bnei Brak, he'd come to Bnei Brak once a week, and when he'd come to the house there, so we'd have drinks on the table, it was very hamish and matzah. Someone would ask a question, and then he would talk, whatever, it's always like that. And he came into a shir, he said, frega kasha, always like that. If he thought of something on the way, and he thought of the shir on the way to the bus, running to the bus, from the bus, so then he said the shir that he was thinking about. And if not, he'd come in sometimes empty, he says, frega this, all the time, thousands of times. I sat by him, over 12 years I sat by him in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm listening to Shiurim 30 years. Always, Fega Kasha. Except the Thursday night shiur. Thursday night shiur he walked in, and he said exactly as if each word is measured. But in the regular shiur, he'd sit around the table. So they would ask something. And someone took a drink. There was wine on the table, and there was Coke. So he turns to this Talmud, and he says, it said on the Coke bottle, Zeh ta'am achayim. So he said, Et ha-ta'am achayim hazeh me'olam lo ta'amti. I never tasted this ta'am achayim. He was so disgusted. He was so disgusted by such a thing. How is it possible? He lived in a way that he saw the Ur. Everything was the Ur, the Pnimius. In the Haintika Parashas of Yitzis Mitzrayim, with the Kishuf of Parah, the Mechashvim, he would say in the Rambam, he'd say, learn it up in the Rambam, Kishuf is Nishkein Metzias. It's not a Metzias. What do you mean it's not a Metzias? It's real, it's happening. It's not a Metzias. Metzias is only something that's nitzchis. It's only something that's here and it's eternal. Something that's just a surface thing and it happens to be here. It happens to be here, Grada. It's not a lie. But that's not emes. Emes is something that's here. He would talk about to me about the Amunah. He would say, he told me about 10, 12 years ago, it was a big tumult in Amunah. Also a different tumult. There were people saying that Divrei Chazal Chalila Kila, there could be a toyus in Divrei Chazal Chalila V'Chalila. There could be a half a word in the Gemara. The Gemara, they don't know science, Kilo, the big sugya of Torah and science. And he asked me then, he came out very strongly, and he couldn't understand how it's possible such a thing. He looked at it, that this is it. How could it be? How could the Torah be under such attack? And he came out very strongly. And he had to be a shliach to do different things. Many times, spoke to him maybe 50 times on it. And at one time he says to me, Ruvi, my name is Ruvi, Ruvi. He called me Ruvi. From the first time he met me, he called me Ruvi. That's how he was, Varam. Everyone, he called him Benny, he called him Johnny. Everyone had the Varmkeit. Everything was Varm. You're my best friend. The first time you meet him, he's your best friend. Ruby, ich sitz und ich wein. I sit and I cry. He told me, I can't forget it. He told me such a thing. I sit and I cry. I sit and I cry. How is it possible? How is it possible such a thing? And he asked me to make a likut. He asked me in one of the swarm I was printing then. He said, make like the Chazanish made. The Chazanish printed in the back a few pages about the Kedusha of Torah. Make a likut Kedusha HaTorah. Show a bunch of sources that talk about the Emunah of Divrei Chazal. Out of that came the Sefer that I just gave the Rav. Sefer printed in Toshin Samach Tes. A 500 page Sefer came out later, eventually. At the time, he only printed like 70 pages. Then it came out a big Sefer about the Emunah. And all of it is the underlying factor that Chazal, every word of Chazal, carries an aur that can't be understood with Seichel. Can't be understood with the Seichel and Nushi, which only understands physical. It has to be the Seichel that comes from the heart. The Seichel that comes from a life that's transformed into Eish Shel Torah. If it's an Eish Shel Torah, then I understand it. How? Not with words. And not because my mind grasps it, because it fits someplace in a brain cell, and it's on a little chip here, and it's on a flash drive. It's the Metzias of my heart. And then we understand it with that Seichel. The Seichel HaTorah. And that's when the person transforms himself. That's, and he told me, he said, make that likut. And that's really the impetus. When I put out my Sefer now in Amunah, he was so beside himself. It's a Yetzer HaMischadish. And he would talk about how we look in the world in politics. He would talk about the level that we're on compared to the earlier generations. He would talk about how the Gemara, the earlier, he said over the Rashi always in the end of Saita, that Mishamesh Rabbi Kiva bottle Kvoid HaTorah. Why was Kvoid HaTorah bottle when Rabbi Kiva was Nifta? Because Rabbi Kiva was Doyrash al Kol Koitz V'Koitz and Kol Tag V'Tag. And until he showed that there's Ein Boy Dover Levatola, there's nothing in the Torah that's Levatola. Every nuance, he said once about the Sugyas and Shas, Ich hab noch nicht getroffen kein Leichter. I never found an easy Sugya. Never happened. I never found one. Ich hab noch nicht getroffen kein Leichter. Every word in the Gemara had meaning. Every ois in the Gemara has meaning. Either in Nigla, in Nister, and he was able to see and reveal things that nobody on the planet was ever able to reveal. Sugya, I mean, not planet, in our generation, was able to bring it out in such a way, like the depth that lies there. And we would sit there with our mouths open. How could he do such a, how is it possible? How could he bring out such a emes in Torah? That's how he had a koyach of tefillah, his amunah in tefillah. I remember I was with him. He had a grandson, or one of his grandchildren was muching zech in a, he was not in yeshiva at the time, and it wasn't going well. The bracha was very tzibracha, and it was very b'sakana, and for a while, he was very worried, what's going to be? L'maisa, he was gevaldik, he's a yungaman in Koilel, he's a Talmud Chochem today. I had asked him a few years later, because I had been involved a little bit in that bracha, so I asked him, what happened? How did it happen? How did you get the bracha back? How do you do it? So he looks at me and he says, Mot ois geweint! We cried! I davened and davened! Before his operation, 3 years ago, he had an operation on his lungs, and he went to Davin. So the one who took him said over that he went to the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Meron. He went inside, and he was a driver waiting outside, doing his own thing. He went in, he didn't come out so fast. He stood there, at the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, for 7 hours, without a break. Just stood there, gedavent and gedavent. He came out, he brought him to the Kinneret to relax a little bit. He was fasting, he fasted all the time. He didn't eat. And then he brought him to Tveria, to Rav Meir Balanes. When he came to Rav Meir Balanes, he stood there for 5 hours, didn't walk out. This is the tefillah, the pasha tefillah. He was a yid, was heilig. He wasn't stam, a person who got up and said intellectual understanding of who knows what. A lot of intellectuals loved it. What, he get up there and listen to the depth of thought that he's saying. But that's not what came out of him. What came out of him was kedusha, like the Roshiva said before. It was the kedusha. He fasted Tanesim. Someone asked him one time. He was fasting. He fasted Bahab, he fasted Shoivim, he fasted all Yom Kippur Kotens for 60 years probably. And he was one time fasting. Stop. He's fasting, fasted a lot. I have a brother-in-law who learned by him for a long time. He told me I was able to tell when he's fasting. Because when he was fasting, he used to love going against his weakness. Fighting his weakness, and he'd come out with the best chidushim. The best chidushim when he went against the grain. He's fasting, he has no koyach, he fought like a lion. His Rebbetzin said the first 20 years of his marriage he never slept in a bed. He's a person who didn't sleep. The person was up all night constantly. So someone told me that Rav Hutner, he learned with Rav Hutner the whole Elozman. One Elozman. He learned with him the whole night, every single night. Every night, the whole night. And he never slept. He tells me once, Ich schlof kemel nicht bei Tag. By day I don't sleep. He called me recently for something to ask me to get a hold of somebody. It was 5 o'clock in the morning by him. And he daven vasikim. I said, the Rebbe doesn't have to go to sleep. He says, yeah, Efshatake, I should sleep a little bit. Like, Efshatake. Efsha. He's a man that the Einaklach, the children say over the last, the Einaklach are already about 30 years old. They don't remember him in a bed. It never happened. He would sit. One of them slept over by Shabbos, 2 o'clock in the morning. He got up. He sees he's sitting and learning. At 5 o'clock in the morning, he's sitting and learning. At 7 o'clock, he's sitting and learning. Someone said over there, that I don't know if they always like this, he would dip his challah into the tea and eat the challah and the tea. And he would say, this is chalent. This is fish. He was afraid to eat too much food. He's going to fall asleep. He didn't want to fall asleep on Shabbos. He said over that the Amshinov Rebbe told him once, he was sitting in a Beis Medrash Friday night in Beit Vegan in the old days. He was close with the Meir Amshinov. And the Meir Amshinov said, by inz, Shabbos is so halik, we can min shlofen. He said it over. He said it over. He probably made a roishim. He said, his tefillah, someone told me that he was busy with a bocher that was vakaldek, that was shaky in Yiddishkeit. And he was masking to sit with the bocher. This was 20, 30 years ago. And he made up a time, 9 o'clock at night or so, he's going to sit with the bocher and discuss it with him. So he asked the Rebbe, an Eitzah, what should he do with the bocher? This, that. He was messiah to him, how he should talk to the bocher. So he heard from him, whatever, and he had the meeting. At the meeting, the bocher broke down, and Mamish, it was an unbelievable thing. Mamish just sitting with him, the bocher changed over just in the conversation. He was in touch with the Rebbe. Either the Rebbe called him or he called the Rebbe. He doesn't remember. And the Rebbe asked him, and told the Rebbe, it was unbelievable atzlocha. How could it be? He said, what do you mean? You told me 9 o'clock. I stood for an hour. I was davening. I stood for an hour being mispalo. A yid called up Rabbi Shlomo David May, who learned with him bechavrusa on the phone for the last 18 years, with a chabur of 3-4 people, learned Ramban, Rashi, Zvon. And in the Manon Lakewood, it's 3 kids who are sick, and he asked him to be masker his name to Rabbi Moshe. So he mentioned the name of 3 children. So the Rebbe asked, what's wrong? So he told him over what the sickness is. So he says, you know what? Tell the young man I'm going to go to Kever Rochel for him. I'll go to Kever Rochel. I'll be misspelled. I'm a strange person. I'll go to Kever Rochel. This is the Amunah in Tefillah. Tefillah, as he used to say, Tefillah only works because you have the Amunah in the Tefillah. If you're davening because I say, yeah, we daven. You have to daven also. That's one of the things you got to do. Tosinish kin Tefillah. Tefillah has to be because my Tefillah right now is going to be answered because right now I'm asking the Ebishna and he's going to listen to me because I asked him. This is the Ur. He saw the Ur. He saw the Metzias itself. He lived in the Metzias itself. He would talk about how low we are, the Timtum Alev that we have. I'll just finish off. I'll leave this because it's already late. I just want to say a word to Santa, quick Maisa, that a Talmud, a friend of mine from Chicago, I'm a born and bred in Chicago, that's my Shaykhis with the Rav, even though I don't know the Rav from Chicago, but the Minkus family, remember? You know Yankee Minkus? Herbie Minkus? I don't remember. She was before the war. Yeah. So he learned by him, and he came from a very balabatish, simple family, and he was learning in the yeshiva, Mishkan HaTorah at the time, and he was a bacher that spent a year after high school there, and he's going to go to college. They got him to stay a second year, and then he told the mashkiach and the other rabbeim that I'm going to college. And they told him, you can't go to college. College is also, how could you go to college? He said, I'm just going to go at night. Don't worry. I'm going to go at night. A couple hours a night. I'm going to learn during the day. Don't worry. Can't do it. It's going to, what kind of learning is that? Can't do it. So he said, let's go ask Rav Moshe. I'm going to ask Rav Moshe. It's okay. Nice. If you ask Rav Moshe, see what he says. He goes into him 15 minutes before Shir, which is the worst time. And Rav Moshe stares at him. He tells me over the story. By the Shiva, I was there. He looks at him and he says, Yankee, what do you want? Mayish. So he says, I have to go to college. Because my parents insist that I go to college, and I also want to make money. I want to have a college education. I want to go at night to college, and in Chicago, there's Northeastern University, and I don't would like to go. And they're in Mashkiach, and they're telling me not to, they're rebbeim, they're telling me I can't go. So he looks at him and says, how old are you? He says, 19. He says, oh, you're young. You're young. Yankee, you're going to listen to what I'm telling you? He said, yes. I'll try. Listen to me. He didn't know what he's going to say. He said, I want you to do like this. You should go for 1 year and then come back a year and go another year. Like, go over 6 years, you'll finish. You'll go the first year. You'll take the night. You'll go to yeshiva. I'll try to get you in yeshiva. I wrote him a whole letter to get him to tell the yeshiva. Tell the yeshiva wouldn't accept him. He had to go to Skokie because there's a policy. Whatever happened, another part of the story in itself. And you'll go at night. And then when you come back to yeshiva after the first year, after you get the first year, that'll be a Kiddush Hashem. And then he adds to him an amazing sentence. And he says to him, all the averis that you're going to do in college, you'll get a kapara when you come back to yeshiva the second year. So don't even worry about your averis. Such a reassurance. So I felt like $1 million. What does this mean? He went to college. He said, I went. He was a serious bacher. Moshe knew the bacher. He was a masmid, a bacher that learned. He went to Chicago, and during the day he learned, and he was so busy he couldn't learn that well. He goes for the 2 hours at night. He said he came in there. The first day he walks into a big auditorium with 300 people. They're all 40 years old. And he's a young guy. Everyone's taking night classes. The professor comes in right away, says some nivul peh. He said, I was so nimus. What is this? And I saw how the goyim are. And I was the guy that was the Jew with the yarmulke. And everyone got chikka over the weekend. And they'd say, give the test to the Jew because he doesn't get chikka. He saw what's going on. He saw what he's busy with. He was so nimus. He said, it's the worst time in my life. After the first semester in January, I called up Rabbi Moshe. I was so tzabrach, and I said, Rebbe, I want to come back to yeshiva, forget about college. So he said to him, Yankee, we made a deal. How could you go? You can't come back. You have to go to college a whole year and then come back. So I started crying. I was crying. I was like, what do you mean? I can't take it anymore. He said, well, what's with your father? And what's with making money? He says, forget about making money. I won't make money. And your father? I'll deal with him. I don't know. I'll deal with him, but I want to come to yeshiva. Oh, okay. You could come. He came in. He walked into the basement. He gave him such a hug. And he tells him, I owe my life. I would have gone to college. And I wouldn't listen to the chokhma that he had. This is one story that thousands and thousands of talmidim. Each one has volumes of stories of how he led them for 30, 40 years, hold on to their hand, gave them the etza that they needed. Everyone, I think, with a perspective, something that doesn't make sense. How could you tell a bachur to go to college? It doesn't fit in the books. Nothing has to fit in the book. Everything is custom made because I see the or shebelev. Yehi zichrei baruch.
Thank you.